Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is Wednesday today. It is the 23rd of March in the year 2006. And let me begin here with our spiritual message. I just drew this from my little box of quotes from the Course in Miracles from the text, page 92. Everything you teach, you are learning. Everything you teach, you are learning. Teach only love and learn that love is yours and that you are love. That would be our true self, wouldn't it, folks? Who we are as a creation of our Heavenly Father. It isn't always how we be, is it? And there was something else I read that has stayed with me, and I think about it all the time when I'm talking with somebody, sharing information, or maybe a revelation that I've had. That's probably not the right word to use, but coming to an understanding, a knowing, and what it was stated in the Course in Miracles is that to share a thought is to strengthen it. And we learn what we teach as we're teaching what we learn. And a lot of times, I find myself, if I'm talking with somebody and saying something, and then I think, ooh, that was for myself. I needed that. So everything we teach, we are learning. And Alan Watt is with us again. Alan, thank you for being here tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you. And it's snowing in northern Canada.
Yep.
Well, we're supposed to get snow tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it's still 30 degrees here.
Really?
Uh-huh. And down into the 20s. I was looking at the weather bug on the internet, and we're supposed to have cold weather pretty much up until next week, and it'll get up into the 40s, but it'll go down into the 20s at night, so
okay.
It's kind of chilly.
Yeah, that's how it's been here. Yeah.
I was telling you when you called me, I had found an article. Actually, it got emailed to me,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And it said that this article or this writing or something is illegal. And I hit the whole story was there, but I hit the source because I wanted to see where it came from. And it was a story out of the New York Times, Alan. I mean, it was so ludicrous that I was shocked to see that this was written in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy named Crichton or something wrote it. Basically, what he was explaining, and I read it once very quickly, but there was a study done, and whoever it was that had done this study discovered that the lack of vitamin B12 could lead to heart disease. And they patented that discovery. They patented a discovery, and now it is illegal to talk about it or to write about it because it is patented. And according to the article, Alan, it's already been challenged and successfully in court. I mean, in other words, that the courts have ruled that nobody else can do this study or it's just insanity. And I know I wasn't reading it wrong.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, the title of the article was that this article is illegal because the author of the article, whoever wrote it, was talking about a patented idea that he wasn't supposed to be discussing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, geez.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense in the control freak world that everything must be owned by the ones at the top.
Even our thoughts and even our words.
That's right. Oh, that's what political correctness is all about. But there's many ways to introduce political correctness, but tell them about that undercover sting operation throughout all those bars in the...
You tell them.
Texas way. Well, what I heard was...
For telling me about it, I read the article.
Yeah, there was... 36 bars and hotels raided in an undercover sting operation and 30 people arrested for for being drunk in public places in the bars. Yeah.
Right. And they said that allegedly that it wasn't to... It had nothing to do about protecting people's rights. This is what these people were told.
Yeah.
It was protecting the public.
Mm-hmm.
The safety of the public.
Yeah.
Not your rights. And even the people...
Where was it?
This is in Texas. I don't know where in Texas. I don't even know if I...
San something, yes.
Huh?
San something.
San, oh, okay. Whatever, that even the people, listen to this, people in hotel bars that were guests staying, registered guests in the hotel that were not going to be driving were still arrested, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's... It's control freak time. It's so obvious that it's the new freedom, you see. As Mr. Bush said, it's the new freedom. Freedom has to be redefined. And so this is the new freedom. It means enjoy yourself, but not too much.
Nah, it doesn't mean enjoy yourself. It means live in fear.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's what it means. In fear of us.
Yeah, our armed SWAT teams coming into the bar. And smelling your breath, you know. Oh, yeah, that's very friendly. That's your friendly policeman.
You know what? What they used to do is sit outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hide someplace.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And trap people.
Yeah.
But now going right in there and saying, okay. Oh, and you know what they said?
Uh-huh.
Bars are to go... Now, these are the authorities. Statements by the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Bars are to go in and have a good time, not to get drunk.
Oh, I see.
So you Americans cannot get drunk anymore.
That's the redefinition of the good time now.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what police are for. It's for control freak times. And they've been hiring so many of them. I guess they don't have enough on the roads as it is, you see. So as they keep hiring this army of police, they've got to find new things for them to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. They, you know what? They're not finding... These... This has all been in the plan, Alan.
Well, I know.
They're not finding new things for the police to do. And they're calling the police and they're getting the psychopaths and the sociopaths and the people who love power,
mm-hmm.
so that they'll go and ride roughshod over the people.
That's right.
Jeff is visiting, and he was in watching the Weather Channel just before we came on the air. I've been on the computer a lot today, and it occurred to me that is why I could feel so edgy. I don't think it's good sitting at a computer for long periods of time.
Mm.
Not only that, you read all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have been on edge, and I wondered, God, I wonder if they're bombarding us with something. You know, we've been talking about biochemical control and chemtrails and the vaccines and how they can manipulate our emotions and...
Yeah.
And I've been on edge all day long, and in a cranky edge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I got to wondering, you know, God, I wonder if we're getting hit with something here, because, well, it's me. I'm the only one, but, you know, we've been talking about it on here, and I thought that would be just like them to say, okay, let's give them some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway... He said that on the weather... Remember I told you on the Weather Channel, they've got one program that's called The Weather Makers?
Uh-huh.
And I haven't watched the Weather Channel in a long time now. Never know what the weather is going to be for most part. But anyway, several times you'd hear this voice under. You never saw the face. You're watching the Weather Channel, live by it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he saw the... weirdest ad on the Weather Channel. He said there were people standing outdoors looking up at the skies, and he said the skies were lined with chemtrails. They showed this right on the Weather Channel.
Uh-huh.
And then the voice said, do you know when the good weather's going to happen? We do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in your face, isn't it? Yeah.
I might start watching it. I'd like to catch that.
Well, on the Weather Channel, as far as I know, I don't have it, but I understand that everything is a crisis. You get a drop of rain, it's going to be a flood.
Oh, you know what?
You know? Uh-huh.
Never anything but floods and droughts.
Yeah, it's all crisis.
According to the Weather Channel. And, you know, when they report on the Weather Channel that there's terrible flooding in a certain area,
uh-huh.
people have told me they live there and there were no floods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were no floods.
It's part of the hype and fear thing, you see. And apparently the Weather Channel also tells you sometimes which towns or areas have the flu, the common flu. So they're already getting us hyped up for that through these stations they've given us that we think are there to serve us. No, they're there to create the hype.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jody earlier. Her boyfriend got very, very sick suddenly.
Yeah.
High fever, chills, a rash, etc.
Uh-huh.
He finally wound up going to the hospital, and they said he had the pox.
The what?
The pox. Chicken pox.
What, chicken pox, eh?
Yeah, but he had had them when he was young.
Uh-huh.
But you can't get them twice. You're immune to them. She said, but wait a minute, Mom. She said, they're talking about a new kind of chicken pox,
uh-huh.
and now they're giving chicken pox boosters.
Uh-huh.
Chicken pox boosters to the children.
For the new
chicken pox.
Well, it's a new freedom, and it's a new sobriety, and it's a new
chicken pox. a friend of hers, was their relative, I don't know if it was a brother-in-law or whatever,
uh-huh.
came suddenly down with the virus
yeah.
and was dead in 5 days.
Oh, okay.
Having his funeral today, she said.
Uh-huh.
And they have no idea what the guy had. I told her about, you know, I said, I want you to know this so that you're aware of it, you know, this avian flu and et cetera. And, of course, I got going in it. And then she goes, Mom, I want to talk about something different.
Uh-huh.
It's enough. It's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't want to know, Alan.
Oh, I know. They can't handle the truth, you know. Most people cannot handle the truth. And they won't till the bitter end. They'll still be the same.
Yeah.
But you're talking about the pox, though, the chicken pox. You can get it again as an adult.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but generally what happens, it breaks out as shingles.
Oh.
And so you get rashes around your rib cage and so on, you know.
I did not know that, Alan.
Yeah. However, if they're getting booster shots, they could have evolved a different type of...
That's what I told her.
Yeah, not...
But if they're giving boosters,
mm-hmm.
you know, because reading about the vaccines, when you read that the smallpox vaccination was actually made out of a cowpox,
uh-huh.
Then they were just spreading
yeah.
a disease. And that's what I told Jody. I said, if they're starting to give these children boosters for the chickenpox,
uh-huh.
there'll be outbreaks of chickenpox going on.
Probably, yeah, because some of the stuff they've got now is hybrid. They hybridize the viruses, you know, until they're different strains. But you know, we're getting to a stage now where you've got to be careful because, I mean, there are even drugs out there from the pharmacy. One of them, there's one drug I think is for skin cancer. And a person I know got it, the drug. And he didn't have the same cancer. It was some sort of experimental treatment to see if it would work with arthritis. And the little sheet that came with it from the pharmacy, on the warning, contraindications on it, they said, stay away from people, avoid people who've had recent polio shots.
Oh, wow.
Because you may be susceptible to the polio.
Oh, my God,
it tells you that the polio shot is shedding live viruses.
Yes.
See, here's where medicine, these theories don't jive. You know, so people are walking around shedding live viruses, and people are susceptible to catching it if they've got a weakened immune system or on certain medication which will weaken the immune system. Something doesn't jive here with the whole theory of inoculations. You know. So, yeah, but we're living in Disneyland.
Something doesn't jive? I guess not, Alan.
That's right. And speaking of Disneyland, you know that Genesis broadcasting that gives us all our heroes, you know? They're owned by the ABN News, ABN station, or ABC?
ABC.
Okay.
American Broadcast, ABC. They're in an ABC affiliate, I think.
That they are. They're owned by it. And ABC is owned by Disney Corporation.
Uh-huh.
So that's why, that tells you who runs Genesis.
And that tells you that anybody on Genesis is definitely going to be censored. And it's a lot of people don't realize they're being censored because they're allowed to say so much. They're not allowed to say certain things, and they will not say certain things.
Personally, I don't think it's that bad at all. I think I think that's their job, is to give out what they're supposed to give out.
Right.
And no more, no less, or no less of a spin either. But Disney, as you know, has been in the mind control business for many, many years, molding the brains of children.
Yeah.
And, of course, now they're just doing it in the adults. The same sort of thing. Yeah.
Yes. Are you making a new video, another one?
I will be, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not yet?
No. I haven't started it, but I know what I want.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope our listeners have gone in and... Have you gotten emails that, you know, people have found it? And
oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Good. What kind of comments?
Oh, it's all really favorable comments, yeah.
I got a... Remember I said last night that I had an email from one of our listeners in England?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a really wonderful email from a man in Dublin.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that people, he said, is you know, every country is in the New World Order, but he said there are people waking up. And he said that's evidenced by conversations that you hear in bars.
Mm-hmm.
And he said whenever he gets in a conversation with people, he tells them to go to Sweet Liberty website and make come to their own conclusions.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the word...
I do appreciate hearing, well, from all of our listeners. I don't get a lot of, you know, email from listeners, but it's really uplifting to know that what you're doing is making a difference for at least some people, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, you know, if there's one person that is brought out of the lie, out of the system, if you would, it's a miracle and it's a blessing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we know that there have been more than just one, don't we?
Oh, yeah, there's been lots of them. And that's the key to it. Generally, it's someone who has been questioning and they don't have the answers, but that they're questioning, and when they hear someone else that's a bit further forward with the explanations, they can catch on quick, and then they in turn can then pass it on to other people, you know. Yeah, but again, you've got to be selective in who you spend time with, because I call the people who don't want to hear, they're dead. And you don't want to expend energy trying to make people wake up. There's no point. They have to have started the process themselves. Even if they're only asking what really is going on, that's a start, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. And really, I mean, with everything that's happening today, I'm still astounded that people are still asleep. I am, you know.
Well, it just proves, Alan. You know, I remember when I was getting the information together on the fluoride in the water.
Yeah.
And reading Major Jordan's thing that he had done on it.
Uh-huh.
And actually here in the States, they started it in towns that were near military bases, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Originally when they started using the fluoride.
Yeah.
Because it does create an apathy.
Uh-huh.
That's what's mind-boggling to me. Like you said, it's amazing to you that everybody hasn't awakened, but, you know, when you show people,
yeah.
And I know I'm being redundant here, but when you show people the poison warning on fluoride toothpaste tubes,
mm-hmm.
if you, you know, keep away from children under six,
yeah.
and if you swallow more than enough for brushing,
mm-hmm.
seek medical help or contact a poison center.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, I know.
They'll look at it and they'll say, I didn't know that. And they keep using it, Alan. Now that...
They're so conditioned that... You see, people who are socialized truly believe they're being well-managed by experts. They really do believe that. And what they'll say is, well, they, you know, the big they would never give it to us if it was really harmful. That's what they believe. Yeah. It's the same with the soya product. I mean, for donkey's years, they kept hyping up soya, how great it was. And, of course, soya has been used since the days of Thomas Malthus because they'd feed that to their slaves, you know, on plantations. And it literally turns the estrogen of males or the progesterone or the testosterone into estrogen in males. And
so it creates femininity.
It makes them docile, yeah.
Yeah.
And now soya byproducts are in everything now.
Oh.
Everything, even candies.
And one thing I did read, that the only reason that soy is used
mm-hmm.
and safely in Japan is that they ferment it first. So it evidently kills all of the properties that affect the hormone system.
Well, what it is the outer meat to use of the soya bean. Because it's the stuff that alters your testosterone if you're a male is in the center.
It's in the center.
It's in the center of
it.
But the companies here, of course, they crush all of it and use all of it.
Yeah.
You see?
And people, and the vegetarians,
uh-huh.
veggie meats that are made out of soy.
Yeah.
The whole thing, I know.
That's why they can sing soprano, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So it's... But that's what they use. And that's also added to all the prisoners in some of the U.S. states to their meals. By law in Texas, I think it's Dallas, Texas, 40% of towards their meat products, must have 40% soya added to it. And the guards are told that is to basically alter their testosterone level. And turns it to estrogen to make them more pliable and easily managed.
Sort of like when we neuter our male dogs.
That's right.
Yeah.
So drugs have been used for thousands of years, actually, on slaves and so on. And there's nothing new under the sun, really. Aldous Huxley, who worked for the Tavistock Institute and who wrote Brave New World, and then the sort of follow-up documentary style Brave New World Revisited, and he was all for this whole agenda, and he was one of the elite, of course, said what's wrong with drugging the populations to make them happy and easily managed. He said, after all, they'll be happier, the authorities will be happier, and there'll be less commotion.
And there will be peace.
He said it'll get rid of this troublesome individuality, he said.
Yes.
People will be more uniform, you see.
There will be peace.
Uh-huh.
In the world, Alan.
That's right. When there's no, as George Orwell said, when there's no think, then there's peace. Yeah, no think.
I would like to do this, and this is way off the subject.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break in about 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Remember the tincture that I told you that I, the lady at the health food store?
Oh, yeah.
I want to share this with our listeners
mm-hmm.
because... It really made a difference. I mean, I've still got a lot of congestion in my lungs, but it isn't. It's coming up. It's constantly being brought up and out. And, Alan, before, when I would cough, mm-hmm. there would be just nothing. And the internal pressure was so great that I'd hold my head. It hurt so bad.
Yep.
And it actually, the morning after I started taking this, I actually woke up and just coughed and coughed and coughed up phlegm. And I wake up in the mornings now. I mean, I still cough in the morning because, you know, it accumulates during the night.
Yeah.
Comes up. But I don't wake up with a wheezing and, like, I can barely take a breath until I start coughing this stuff out. And, folks, if you would get a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. This stuff is really easy to make, and using it. In fact, she's got some more astragalus root ordered, because I'm gonna make another batch and keep it on hand. It'll keep forever, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your tinctures are made with 80 proof alcohol.
Yeah.
Folks, this is it's a combination of three herbs, and one of them is astragalus root. And that's A-S-T-R-A-G, I think, A-L-U-S, but it's astragalus root, and it's cut and filtered. Roxy told me that she only knows of one company that makes it, and it's on back order for her, but that you can get the astragalus root and break it up, but the stuff that she used in the tincture is cut and filtered. And she said probably filtering, that means they just get the dust off it, so it turns into looking like leaf. And it's one part astragalus root and one part olive leaf. And she used two parts mullein in hers. And the reason so is because she had kind of an asthmatic condition. And the mullein is a lung cleanser, so to speak. It's for the health of the lungs. And mullein, folks, is spelled M-U-L-L. I think it's E-I-N. And if you don't have, at the present time, a lot of congestion, I suppose you could make it with one part of each. But anyway, she said if you were using like a half a cup of astragalus root, half a cup of olive leaf, use a full cup of mullein. And you get an 80-proof alcohol. I used a brandy because that's what Roxy used in hers. And you put it in a jar. You put enough of the alcohol in that it's covered. But you will find out that as the dried mullein and the olive leaf begins to absorb, and you're going to have to wind up adding more alcohol because you want the alcohol to be over the top of your material there. And then all you do is you put it in a jar, cover it, and once a day you just shake it up a little bit. Flip the jar upside down and back and forth a couple times. And after 30 days, then you strain it into another jar and you have a wonderful tincture. And the astragalus root is an immune booster. And I was talking to my doctor friend, Kevin Imhoff, a couple or 3 years ago. He told me this, Alan, that astragalus is even better than echinacea as an immune booster. The olive leaf is an antiviral, and the mullein is to cleanse out the lungs and the respiratory tract. And so if you've got that, folks, I really would recommend that you get some of this material and make it and keep it, because Roxy takes 2 tablespoons a day, one in the morning, one at night, as maintenance. And when I had that terrible congestion, I was taking a couple tablespoons. I took a couple tablespoons immediately, then before I went to bed another, and in the morning it started coming up. But I was taking about 4 tablespoons a day, you know, throughout the day. Anyway, I wanted to share this with our listeners. I've been wanting to share this with our listeners, and I wrote it down tonight to do that. And I think that it's just about time for us to take our dirty at the half hour break.
Yes.
Did you hear this warning? All right, we're back with Alan Watt. And if you might have tuned in late, you are listening to Sweet Liberty. I'm Jackie Petru, your hostess. Alan Watt, more than a guest, I think, has become like a co-host on this broadcast. We've done it together so many times and for so long. I want to remind you, too, folks, that Sweet Liberty does broadcast Monday through Wednesday. And Darren Weeks, Darren is our webmaster, and Darren does the broadcast Monday and Tuesdays. I do the broadcast on Wednesday, and I want to encourage you to tune in all three nights. Darren does his homework, and presents documented information that without the documentation or sources of the documentation, I think some of the stuff we talk about is actually difficult to believe. But anyway, do tune in Monday through Wednesday, not just on Wednesday nights. Alan, I wanted to share something with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I told you this. There was a, you know, we get these free newspapers around here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is called the Penny Saver. Well, we get a couple or three free newspapers every week, or every couple weeks, or whatever it is. But there was a little ad in here. Listen to this. It says, Dead or Alive, Pennsylvania Mountain Lion Reward, $2,000. For any of you in Pennsylvania, get your pen back again, would you? Because you might like to be aware of this. It says, call Jake Home. Jake, J-A-K-E. And he's got his home phone number and his work number in here. And what he's saying is help save the deer herd. But anyway, they're offering a $2,000 reward. His phone number, the area code is 570. And at home, it's 326-5659-5659. And at work, it's 322-2654-2654. Now, I wondered how they could advertise this, Alan,
mm-hmm.
given that, of course, we're told, you know, there's a fine.
Yeah.
Because even though they don't exist in this state, they're protected.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, first of all, he said they're just sick and tired of all the denials,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there are mountain lions here in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And he said they aren't eastern mountain lions because they pretty much became extinct. And they are from the west, that they've been brought in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said that he's, in fact, one of the state legislators here, Senator, I think his name is Madigan or Cadigan or something like that, is trying to get some type of legislation introduced, and I'm not really sure what it's all about, but Jeff called him, and then I got on the phone and spoke with him. He said he'd keep me posted, but I said, how can you offer this $2,000 reward? Because, you know, that could be the fine somebody would pay. He said, we want it dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that sees and can get a mountain lion, a cougar. But he said, no. He said, there is no law here. He said, you are allowed to shoot a mountain lion if it is on your property, if it's, you know, endangering your family, your pets, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there have been people that have shot them, and they don't get fined because they don't want to be taken to court. Because they don't want the masses to really know that they're here and that they have been reintroduced into Pennsylvania.
The rewilding.
The rewilding, yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty cool. And the paper was laying here, and it just, I thought I would share that with you and with our listeners. So maybe, so people, well, he didn't know about rewilding, though.
Uh-huh.
It's just people fed up with the insanity, Alan.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I told him, I said, do a search.
Mm-hmm.
In your search engine, when I put rewilding project, I pulled up 700 and some articles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. What gets me is that if people just thought about it logically, it's like if you're a tenant in a building and the landlord brings another tenant in and puts you in your room. You'd be pretty upset, you know, because you haven't given up your notice and you haven't even thought of leaving until then. Well, that's what they're doing to the public. They're rewilding the rural areas with animals for the future, for this idealistic future that they're already creating. When there'll be nobody left on the rural areas, there'll all be these choky, smoky habitat areas, and that's the gall of these guys. They're actually fixing up the future while we're still living in the country.
Yes.
You know, it's how disgusting. They're so arrogant, you know.
And when we were first talking about this, long time ago on the air.
Yeah.
Lady from Wisconsin contacted me, sent me newspaper articles.
Mm-hmm.
And in a state park in Wisconsin, they reintroduced, it was a newspaper article, they reintroduced rattlers. Rattlesnakes, Alan.
Yep, I know.
So then people can't go picnic in the park.
That's just scare the mothers. The mothers will say, we don't want to go there. If they're around your house, well, let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere safe. And it's all to scare the people off the rural areas. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, of course. Yes, yes, yes.
I heard they released wild haggis in Scotland.
Wild what?
Haggis, yeah.
Spell that.
H-A-G-G-I-S.
What's haggis?
Well, apparently the Scotsmen ate it. It's a traditional meal there, yeah.
Oh,
I'll let you look that one up. Yep.
So that was a joke you just told?
That was a joke there, yeah.
Okay.
I can see 10,000 people checking up on the internet to see what a haggis is.
Yeah,
it's actually a three-legged bird that runs around the mountains, and that's why it has the third leg to keep a hold, you see. It doesn't fall down.
Right.
But no, the Scotsman ate it, yeah. So they caught it and ate it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were born in Scotland, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
How long did you live in Scotland before you left?
Oh, quite a few. Well, I was moving. I went to different countries. Even in my late teens, I'd visit them before I went to live in different countries.
Oh, but you actually grew up in Scotland then?
Oh, yeah. I survived it, yeah.
Yeah, you survived it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was telling somebody what you had shared with me one time that in Scotland, and this probably was long ago, but you said that there was a huge, a deep, 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 deep hole.
Yeah.
They had no idea how deep it was.
Mm-hmm.
And when any adult sexually abused a child, they were just thrown into that hole.
That's right. That's right. That was traditional. When the people, the locals had proof, that was it. There was no bureaucracy or police or trials or social workers and rehabilitation. It was just down the hole with them, you know. And interestingly enough, there was a CBC special on recently about pedophilia, and they talked to some of these guys in their 40s, 50s, and 60s even, who were now out into the community and being, of course, being closely monitored. But one of them said, he said, I'll never change. He says, I can't change. He said, it's an obsession, you know. And so it's true enough. It's an obsession with them. They're very dangerous people, and they know it, too.
Well, there was an article about a man who had abused many, many children, raped.
Uh-huh.
And he begged them. They were going to release him.
Uh-huh.
And he literally begged them not to, because he said he would do it again.
Uh-huh.
Or he said, at least castrate me.
Uh-huh.
Do something so that I cannot do this again. And they let
them Sawyer.
They let him go, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they cannot stop it. They haven't found a method of treating them. You know.
Somebody asked me when I was telling them about what you told me.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, they had tried to do some research on it.
Yeah.
And this was some time ago. They asked, well, when you're talking to Alan, would you ask him if he could give more information on that, because they wanted to actually see if they could, you know, verify it.
Uh-huh. What was it, though?
Huh?
On what?
About the hole.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. It was a crevasse, really, a deep crevasse in the Ettrick Forest.
In the what?
Ettrick Forest.
Ettrick Forest?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And that was traditional. I mean, they just dumped them down there, and of course you could look down there with flashlights. You'd never see the bottom of it. It was very, very deep. But I don't know how deep it really was. But certainly you couldn't see anything with flashlights or anything.
What was the time frame when that was going on?
That was still happening up into the 1900s. Yeah. And probably after that, too. And the locals all kept their mouths shut, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because that was the old way. That was the old way. Justice was done by the community. in clan systems, there was still a tribal system there. You didn't need law because your culture was the law.
Right.
Everybody knew the rules, and anybody that broke them knew what the punishment would be.
And children were well...
Oh, they could travel all over the hills and so on and come home safely. No one had to worry. And mind you, they were not flooding. They didn't have TV, etc.
Right.
To flood people's minds with pornography all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they made short work of the pedophiles.
And I suppose that would be hard for somebody to actually confirm and research because it was more of a tribal thing and...
Yeah, and more, actually, it happened in more localities than just that. I mean, justice was swift. And in fact, the law wasn't liked at all right into the 20th century up in the Highlands. In fact, the people there looked upon the law as their enemy, traditionally.
Yeah.
Anybody in uniform, the Highlands had been so persecuted for such a long time, that the English law with uniforms, uniformity, one form, Masonic, they just did not like the police at all. Yeah.
Well, they were smart, Alan.
Yeah.
Because the laws are always so stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just that. It's that men in uniform are dangerous because they do whatever they're ordered to do. And that's just a fact. It doesn't matter if the country gets taken over even by another country. We saw that in France and different countries when Germany walked in. The police just went to work the next day as usual. And they do whatever they're told to do. They don't care who their master is. And it's because of the type that goes into police forces. These people are basically the school bullies. They like to see the average person squirm. But when they're asked for ID or whatever, they get their kicks on that, you know.
Yeah.
And police have always been the same. But in places like the Island of Skye, when people were getting moved off their land, it was the police forces that were sent out to do it. And they beat the people, male and female, with clubs and everything. They were merciless. So the people in the Highlands have a long memory of this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, uniformity. That's why in Britain they had a healthy distance between themselves and even the military uniform, because the military all over Europe has always been turned on their own people. Always.
Yes.
And that's what America hasn't seen yet. Well, actually,
they don't see it, Alan.
Yeah.
Although, you know what?
Uh-huh.
I'll bet you any amount of money that if you polled people, that 9 out of 10 would say that they get the creeps when, let's say, you're driving,
uh-huh.
doing nothing wrong, you're not speeding, but you get nervous as heck every time you see a cop.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you that today, people, even the Walking Dead, in that aspect, I don't think they see the police as, quote, our protectors anymore.
Oh, no, no. Well, when you see them dressed in black with combat boots, you're looking at an army. That's what you're looking at.
I know it.
And it's very ominous, and it's going to be used on the public, and those guys will use all the weaponry they're given, and they will do whatever they're told. They never have faltered in history. They're not going to falter now. This will repeat itself again. Yep. It's ominous. They haven't been built up into a huge internal army for no purpose. There's a purpose behind everything in this world that we live in. It's all planning ahead for things to come. And they will be used for what they've been created to do.
And you know, that's what we should get real clear, and hopefully that our listeners do, is that what happens is not accidental.
No.
It's a long, late plan.
Mm-hmm.
They have their timelines. And it's the same, as you said last night, the prophecies, the so-called prophecies,
mm-hmm.
in the Holy Bible and mm-hmm. Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a prophecy. People who could see the future psychically, it was written by those, the priesthood, mm-hmm. or their minions who have been in control down through the ages, and this was their plan.
Yeah.
We're living it today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they've laid the groundwork so perfectly this time, because when they first brought in video games, which were designed to train military, to desensitize them from killing.
Right, right.
And they gave those games to children. And I said 20 years ago, one day, I said, we're going to create a generation of barbarians to go and do and fight in a war. It was so obvious to me, and that's exactly what they've done.
I feel like I should have compassion simply because of I don't know. They somehow convinced themselves, and their parents are so proud of them because they're over there in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting to keep us free. And Alan, I can't find the compassion, at least that I feel that I should have, simply because I know they're being used. They've been. It's like you said on your video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they knock our legs out from under us,
yeah.
and then ridicule us because we can't get up.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the way it is with these young men and women that are.
We're going to realize too that these people who go in peacetime, but when it's a non-draft, these are voluntary.
Oh, I know.
They are voluntary mercenaries. Let's not kid ourselves here. It's always been this way from even Roman times, voluntary mercenaries. And these guys get paid to go out and kill, you know. That's what a soldier does. No matter how much they try and whitewash it with this term peacekeeper, this Orwellian doublespeak.
Right.
And then the fact is, it's like Woodward and Bernstein wrote in their book about Kissinger, when Kissinger told a group of the pressmen, including these two authors, he said the American soldier is just a dumb, stupid animal to be used for foreign policy. Well, Kissinger was telling the truth, because these guys have no idea about what the real long-term agenda of this is, and what's more, they don't care.
And they can go over there and pull the trigger,
uh-huh.
and shoot.
It's just another video game.
And children and innocent citizens over there, Iraqis,
mm-hmm.
unarmed.
Well, they're dehumanized, and they're taught to call them ragheads and so on.
I know it.
And dehumanize them. The same stuff they used in World War II, you know. And then, of course, with the gooks in Vietnam. And now it's ragheads. The same techniques are being used again. However, this generation is worse because they were a purpose-made generation to be used now for war. They were bred and brought up with the value of the states and the media and much music and video games to do exactly what they're doing. They're the bottom of the barrel.
Yes, and then I think about that statement. I happen to have the book laying here in Between Two Ages,
mm-hmm.
Where this one said that I foresee the time when we shall have the means to manipulate the behavior and intellectual functioning of all people,
yeah.
through environmental and biochemical manipulation of the brain.
That's right.
Somewhere that has to have happened to these people.
Mm-hmm.
These young people who can go over there, or not so young, because a lot of them have actually re-enlisted,
mm-hmm.
And just go over there. But Alan, somehow they've convinced themselves that they're over there fighting for our freedom.
Well, that's why Kissinger said,
and they should be heroes.
They don't know what the real story is. And what's
but I'm saying that's why there
yeah.
should be some compassion.
Well, I can't, you know, I can't.
Well, I haven't been able to either.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I see a dog that goes rabid, I don't hate the dog because now it's gone rabid. However, I'm still very wary of the fact that it's now rabid. And that's how I see these things.
Oh, but see, you could have compassion for that dog.
I could.
Because it's a disease.
And I know that it was a normal dog before it happened.
We might have to shoot the dog, you know, to avoid, you know, being bitten and stuff, or just because he's going to die anyway, but there would be compassion there. And it feels to me like there's something missing here.
Well, there is something missing.
Being for me, that I can't see the wrongness of it and still feel compassion for the insanity that these people have been living. And if it's biochemical manipulation of their brain, it's sort of like, just like you said, knock the legs out from under us and then ridicule us because we can't get up.
That's right.
That's kind of how I see these people who go over there.
Yeah.
They don't have a damn clue, Alan.
And they don't want to know. That's what Kissinger was saying. It's, they're dumb, stupid animals because they don't even inquire into the real reasons. Any superficial reason will do. And I was watching a program on the CBC here when they were sending Canadian troops off, and there was one sergeant there, and he was getting ready to get to board the plane and say goodbye to his family. And they asked him how he felt going over there. He says, "Oh, I'm happy to go." He says, "I'm a soldier." He says, "That's what I do. I go wherever I'm sent."
That's
what
right.
He's telling you is nothing. He didn't care about the reasons given. He just goes and does what he's told to do, and he's happy to do it. You know. Well, that same guy, if he put a black uniform on him and bring him back home, he'll do exactly what he's told to do. And we better remember that. I mean, there are psychopaths out there, too.
That young soldier, Michael, what was his name? Michael New, remember Michael New?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a hero because he said he wouldn't wear a UN uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was talking to his dad, and we said, "Well, you must be very proud of him." You know, and he says, "Well, we told him that's what they were going to do." He said, "Michael will go anywhere in the U.S. military and serve proudly."
Mm-hmm.
Served proudly in the Gulf War, but he will not wear the UN uniform. So what's so heroic about that?
That's right.
But he has been held up for years
as a hero,
by many, many people as a hero.
Yeah.
And I believe that Michael was brainwashed by his family to do exactly what he did so that he would become this hero. I don't know what was behind it, but I do know that that was a manipulated thing, and he was being used.
Yeah. and young men, let's be honest, young men who are 18 to 20 are stupid, you see?
But see, as Dad said, I told Michael, one of these days they're going to ask you to put on the UN uniform. And if you do that, you're going to become home indistinguishable from all the others. So see, Michael, it had been fed and fed and fed to him, but his dad was a member of the Birch Society. You know, that's their whole scam, get us out of the UN, and phony conservative, the biggest and one of the first. And so therefore the UN was the issue, see. But I see by what his father said that Michael was just set up for that. He was set up for it.
Yeah, well, again, a lot of parents are pretty dumb. And
his dad wasn't dumb, trust me.
Yeah.
His dad was just a climber and just a pawn for the Birch Society.
But in general, as I say, all these troops who are 18 to 20, they're pretty stupid.
Yes, they are.
Because young men don't even know who they are at that age.
I know.
And they don't even know history. They have no idea.
I know.
And they don't even know current history.
We just had our 60-second warning, and I heard it. And ladies and gentlemen, we are just about out of our hour here. I want to remind you that Alan's website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, you'll want to visit it. You definitely will want to watch the video and take a look at the excerpts from the three books that he's written, Cutting Through the Matrix, or Cutting Through. I think it's Cutting Through the BS, don't you, Alan?
Definitely.
And Alan's phone number is there. Folks, if you'd like to get in touch with me, my home number is 570-537-3035. And I don't give the number often, but if you'd like to get in touch with me, that's how you do it. We'll be back with you next Wednesday.